Welcome to Game Time Decisions on this beautiful Thursday early evening, depending on where you live. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz taking over the next 3 hours, filling in for the great Gabe Morency and Cam Stewart again on this Thursday. A lot to get to over the next 3 hours. We got the in-game live stuff coming up in a couple of hours, although we do have a couple of afternoon baseball games still in progress, one that you can still bet on with FanDuel. We got some baskets later on tonight. The hockey is off, but we can go over game two from last night and check out some of the monster odds that you can get on the Montreal Canadiens if you're still believers in the Canadiens. But with that, my partner in crime for the next 3 hours, our good buddy George Kurtz. What's going on, George? How are you tonight, bud?
I'm ornery, man. I'm still mad about the Yankees getting rained out today. You and I are on Long Island. They could have played this game today, and I wanted to watch baseball this afternoon. So I'm a little disappointed in the Yankees. So we'll have to deal with evening baseball tonight instead.
Yeah, well, today's getaway day, so you normally have, you know, a bunch of afternoon games, as we had today, and then, you know, I knew the Yankees were playing, and I looked, George, it must have been, I don't know, maybe 2:30 or so, 2:30, and the game was already canceled, and I'm like, boy, that's kind of weird that they would cancel it. You know, I'm looking outside, and, you know, the weather here on Long Island, which is about a half hour, 45 minutes travel time from New York City, you know, it really wasn't that bad, to tell you the truth. I'm, you know, this is the only time the Angels are coming into town. You know, we looked at the schedule, they ended up rescheduling for an off day that they had in August, but I'm very surprised, this being their last trip, only trip into New York, that they wouldn't have waited a long time to get this game in. Very weird, because the weather is fine. We had maybe, you know, an hour or so of rain, and that was in the forecast. It was supposed to rain early on but be fine by the middle of the afternoon. So I'm surprised they dumped this game as quickly as they did.
Yeah, we talked about it before the show started. I think you actually hit the nail on the head here. I think they didn't want the fans to come to the game and sit through another rain delay. They had two last night. The game lasted until what, 1 a.m. Lucky me, I came home from refing and watched that colossal destruction. So I think that's what it was there. They didn't want to put the fans through it again. I can't see the field being a problem. The new Yankee Stadium drains very well, so it would have eaten up the rain fine. As you said, it rained for an hour, hour and a half, maybe. I mean, it's 6 o'clock now. It's sunny outside. It's nice outside. They could have easily played this game if they wanted to. I guess they didn't. I don't know how happy the Angels are about this. As you said, you told me earlier, what, they're going to be playing on Anaheim on the 15th, go to Yankee Stadium on the 16th, and then Detroit on the 17th. Well, if you want to rack up your frequent flyer miles, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that is really kind of, you know, I don't understand, George. I get it's all about money. I fully understand that. But one, why they wouldn't have waited as long as possible. I know they got a night game tomorrow night back at home against Baltimore. But still, you know, you had some hours to play with. But mostly, you know, they do have a series against the Yankees in August in Anaheim, in Los Angeles, right? Why couldn't they have just said, all right, listen, instead of us flying all the way to New York, you know, and have to pay for a hotel, have to pay for the airfare, have to pay for all the rigmaroles that go on road trips, why don't you guys, the Yanks, you know what, just come to New York and just, you know what, we'll play a doubleheader. We'll make it a day-night doubleheader. We'll take those receipts. We'll give it to you like you're the home game and stop the nonsense of flying back and forth across the country, literally, to play one game. I don't understand why they don't do that. You know, so it just seems life is so much easier. Figure out a number, $1 million, $2 million, $500,000. I don't know what it would be, but seems to me that it would be a lot easier just to schedule a game, an extra game back in Anaheim. I don't understand why. Just getting underway, hour number one of our three-hour extravaganza. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz filling in for Cam Stewart and Gabe Morency. Game time decisions here on a Thursday evening as we approach some baseball games later on tonight. We got the NBA later on tonight. We got some hockey stuff to get to as well. So, yeah, George, I don't understand why the Angels and Yankees can't come up with a figure and just say, you know, instead of flying back and forth across the country, just, you know, we'll play an extra game. Day-night doubleheader here in Anaheim when you come out here in August.
Well, see, you're thinking logically, all right? These teams don't think logically.
I shouldn't do that, being married for 30 years.
No. Yeah, that's also anyway. True. I'm not. My wife hear me? That's also true. Well, when you think about that. I kind of agree with you, especially if it's two teams that are, let's face it, the Angels are definitely also Rans. The Yankees look most likely they're going to be also Rans as well. They're not really. Is the one extra home game truly going to matter here? You just played two games in New York. Take the average receipts from those two games. And that's what the Yankees get for the August 16th game. I guess I'd be fine with that. I guess someone could say, well, you know what? The Angels are never going to return the favor because it never rains out there. They'll never have a game or the odds are highly against we'll ever have a game canceled out there. All right, I get it. And it's never done, though. The only time it's really done is at the end of a season when there's There's nothing we can do. We can't come back out here. You know, we don't have any other days off. Yeah. We don't want to play the game October 3rd after the season for a meaningless game, that sort of thing. But it's never done. As long as they have an off day, both teams have one and the same, they're going to replay it that day. That's the way they do it. I guess we're used to it. But like I said, logic has no place in sports.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. They had no problem with the Toronto Blue Jays having to play their games in Buffalo or Florida, or the Raptors having to play their games in Florida, you know, versus Toronto. That's all okay. But one extra game, it just seems crazy. But that said, oh, how about the Stanks last night? Wow. You know, you can make the argument that Aroldis Chapman shouldn't have even been in the game, George. They're up 7-4. They score a run. Now, maybe they're up 7-4, and we're thinking, okay, maybe. But then they score another run in the bottom of the eighth to make it 8-4. You tell me you can't finish out a game 8-4 without bringing your closer in? And he hasn't been exactly great of late anyway. And then we know what happens. He walks the three guys and he gives up a grand slam, and there you go. It's 8-8 all of a sudden. Like, wow. Well, unbelievable loss last night for the Yanks.
Yeah, Chapman's been bad of late. We'll talk about this more after the break here. He's been a problem for the Yankees. You knew he was walking the first batter. I knew it. He does it every time he's in there. Didn't see the next two guys walking as well. It is what it is.
Yeah, tough time for Yankee fans. And we have Bobby Bonilla Day for Met fans. We'll explain what that is next. Game Time Decisions. All right, welcome back. Game Time Decisions. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz filling in for the boys. Gabe and Cam both off today as they enjoy a nice July 4th extensive weekend. Got a lot of stuff to get to. We'll get to the gambling stuff here in a little bit, George, but this is one of my favorite days of the year. It really is. It's not July 4th, not July 3rd, not Christmas, although those are my favorite days as well. But Bobby Bonilla Day here in New York. This is when Met fans are reminded that they're the New York Mets and not the New York Yankees, or not the New York Knicks, or not the New York Rangers even. They are like low on the totem pole when it comes to sports. And listen, they've had a tough track record the last year. Just Google managers fired for different reasons, and you'll see why the Met fan is really kind of taking it on the chin, despite this being a pretty successful year. But this is the day they got to pay Bobby Bonilla his $1.1 million or so every single year because they signed into a deal. What's it been, about 15 years or so now, 20 years, whatever it is, that they were going to exchange $6 million for basically $36 million because they thought they would make that much more money with the Madoff crew, and they're still paying it off, and they're going to be paying it off for another 15 years, and today's the day that Bobby gets his $1.1 million. Unbelievable.
Bobby Bonilla last played Major League Baseball in 2001. 2001, yeah. So this is year 20. Year 20 of Bobby Bonilla Day. Yeah, and I'm that guy. I talked to a buddy of mine this morning. He's a Met fan. The first thing I text him is, yeah, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. And he's like, yeah, he gives me the finger return there. So, listen, we all know the Wilpons. It's not even Cohen, right? It's not his problem. He just inherited it. No, what is he going to do? He's just got to deal with it. Just got to deal with it. And it's funny. It really is funny. You mentioned the Mets. I know I'm a Yankee fan, but I don't care about the Mets. I don't root against the Mets. I don't root for them unless I'm gambling on them. You know, if I have money on them, go Mets. If they're on my fantasy team, go Mets. You know, Jacob DeGrom's going tonight. Good chance going to have some money on DeGrom tonight, so go Mets. But I don't think there are bad things with the Mets, but, man, you said it. There's some strange stuff. You hire Beltran after then the scandal comes, and you got Porter, and he has to go for all his sexual stuff that he was doing. Mickey Callaway, you didn't have the problem when he was at the Mets, but he had other issues, right? Lying to the media and stuff like this, and now he's gone. Boy, they are I guess we should thank the Mets. They give us quite a bit to talk about.
Yeah, it's two people that I'm not sure how they still have their jobs here in New York. Sandy Alderson of the Mets, who made those two hires, the guys with all the issues off the court, off the field, and the Yankees hitting coach. Those are two, like, say what you want about George, and he probably would have fired Aaron Boone by now. Probably, maybe not, but I know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, the Yankee hitting coaches would all be gone. I don't care if there's one, two, three, or four. There is no way in the world he would have not have made somebody a scapegoat by now. But the Bonilla thing is just funny because how much, you know, it's just basically what it was is they owed Bobby Bonilla about $6 million, $5.5 million left. And they said, all right, we'll give you the $5.5 million or we'll give you $1 million a year for the next 25 or 30 years, whatever it's 35 years. Because they thought they were going to take that $6 million, invest it with Madoff, and make more money than they would have to pay off Bobby Bonilla with the cost of living increases and everything else. So their $10 million, $15 million, whatever they thought they were going to make in 2000, they thought that would be worth more than what, you know, paying off $1 million over the course of 25 years would have been. And obviously they were sadly mistaken. But I mean, just the logic of that. I mean, I know a lot of teams have, you know, deferred payments. I get all that. But when it's 1 year and it's one lousy guy and it's just, you know, you could have just paid, well, here's your $5 million. I mean, geez, you're the Wilpons. I never understood if you're the Wilpons, right, George? If you read another $6 million, go get a loan. You're owners of a multi-million dollar, you know, even at that point in 2000, you know, maybe not a billion at that point, you know, but you're the owners of a $700, $800, $900 million team. Go get a loan for $5 million from Chase Bank. You know, I mean, you don't have to defer this guy's last year of his salary. Oh, just dopey. Just absolutely dope. So they kind of asked Bonilla, you know, would you ever, you know, give that up? He's like, what, are you kidding me? Why would I ever do that? I'm surprised the new owner, Cohen, hasn't just said, here's $20 million. This is what we owe you for the next 20 years. Just get out of our face. Stop the embarrassment. But he's actually embracing it. Like, he was actually considering on making, like, a big check, and they bring Bonilla in every year. And there was some talk about them actually doing that and kind of making light of it, which is pretty interesting. But personally, I'd just say, here's $15 million and just go away. Stop it already.
I think that was the thought that's what might happen today. Because yesterday on Twitter, Cohen actually said there'd be a big announcement today. I guess it was just, hey, it's Bobby Bonilla Day. I thought of a thought that, okay, he's going to pay off Bonilla, you know, get rid of it. You know, I think it wouldn't be so bad if Bonilla had worked out in New York. You know, yeah. If he had played well for the Mets. It's happy Bobby Bonilla Day. If it was, you know, Dwight Gooden, man, in 86, or one of the guys in the 80s, Gary Carter, who paid off in 86. Mets be happy. Yay! All right, Carter Day coming back. You know, that sort of thing. Yeah, they'd be happy about that. But the fact that it's Bonilla and, you know, wipe the smile off my face, and, you know, he's threatening reporters, it didn't work out here at all. Looked like he was a guy who needed Barry Bonds to be in the lineup with him to really perform there. It's a thing we all make fun of. You know, the fact that we're not Met fans yet. We know this day is coming, July 1st. It's like a national baseball holiday that we know Bobby Bonilla Day is on July 1st. I mean, I don't know if we live in New York, so maybe that's why. Maybe people in Kansas City, maybe they don't know. You know, they have no idea. I didn't even know that. I wonder if people in other states actually do recognize that and make as much fun of it as we do. But the Mets, like I said, they're great for business because there's always something with this team. They'll give us something. There'll be something next week that'll go on with the team. It's great. Thank you, Mets.
Yeah, there's always something. College football, you know, before we get into the games, Reggie Bush says he wants his Heisman Trophy back. He wants all his awards and everything back because of what's happening now with college football. I don't know how much you follow college football, George, but
yeah, I know it's going
college
on.
Football, college sports as we know it. It really is. You're not going to be able to change it. I know that, but this is the end of college sports as we know it. And, you know, Reggie's trying to hop on the bandwagon early here, saying, listen, if these guys are able to get paid, well, then what did I do? You know, and to a certain extent, it's true, you know, although it's you know, kind of like marijuana being legal now, but not 15 years ago. And people are still sitting in jail, I suppose. You know, when you did it, it was illegal. You weren't allowed to accept cars. You weren't allowed to accept cash payments. But, you know, you think of some of the people. You know, Maurice Claret comes to mind. You know, he wanted to leave college. He wanted to get paid. He sued the NFL to be able to be drafted. I mean, all these little things that if they were allowed to get paid back then, you know, how much money would these guys have made? How much would they have stayed in college? I mean, it really – college football, it's in a lot of – and basketball too, but even I think more so with college football for some reason, they're in a lot of trouble. This recruiting stuff is going to get real nasty, real ugly.
Oh, they're definitely in trouble. I mean, if you don't know what to talk about, it's the Supreme Court case and Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh ripped them apart. Pretty much say there's no other industry in America where this is allowed here, where you can do this sort of thing here. I've always thought college players should get paid. I'm not talking the major millions of dollars you're going to get paid as a pro, but you're making a truckload of money. One player is making a truckload of money for the college. These big time colleges, they print money. Off these players. They print money off these players. And it's not like giving any breaks on fees to the regular student class. I know if they were, if tuitions were down for the regular students, I might feel differently about this. But they're just raking in the bucks. You know, they're the ones who are reaping all the benefits here while no one else sees anything. You're going to have a hard time convincing me of that otherwise. Like I said, if tuition was more reasonable, you know, at Alabama or Ohio State or whatever, okay, all right, fine. That's what they're doing. They're putting it back into the school and allowing the kids to get an education. Fine. I can sort of understand that. But we forget, not all these guys are going to make it big in the pros. Most of these aren't even going to the pros, but they're great college players. So why shouldn't they have a chance to make some money there while they have a shot? And I don't have any problem with them getting paid a little bit here, getting a car here, a TV there, whatever it might be. You know, I think it's one of, once again, I think it's kind of silly it's ever been against the rules in the first place. To not have an agent, why the hell not?
Because why would you need an agent if you're in college? You know, listen, I got two kids in college, and I'm going to have a third one in college in a couple of years. You know, colleges cost you anywhere from, if you're lucky, $25,000 to up to $75,000, and obviously better colleges even higher than that. To think these kids aren't getting paid. I'd love to have these colleges just say, all right, you want to make money on the side? Great. Then pay your $25,000, $35,000, $55,000 for room and board and tuition. Then we'll see what happens. All right, Game Time Decision continues. All right, Game Time Decisions on a Thursday, July 1st, as we welcome in a new month of the calendar year 2021. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz filling in for Cam Stewart and Gabe Morency. We're taking you right up until 9 p.m. Eastern time. We'll get into some of the baseball stuff. Oakland trying to make a bit of a comeback, but bottom nine, they trail Texas 8-3. Everything else is over from this afternoon. You know, we'll get into the 7 o'clock games here in a little bit. We're just talking about the college football scene and college basketball scene with some of this stuff going on. Yeah, the recruiting wars are going to be ugly. Listen, I'm all for, you know, athletes getting some money. There should be no reason why they can't, you know, go work at Bob's car wash and wash some cars and make a couple of extra bucks. That is silly to me. But there's always the extreme. You know, you go work at the car wash and you get paid $10,000 and everyone else is making $10 an hour. Something's not wrong. So, and that's what would happen. And now the ability to make money, George, you know, aside from the fact that, you know, you're already getting paid, whether you like it or not or understand it or not, you're not paying for your room, your board, your tuition. That costs big time bucks, not a couple of dollars, big time dollars. So you're getting that for free. And now you're going to make money on top. And now, you know, Bob's Car Wash says, we're going to give you $5,000 to come down and sign autographs on a Friday before the game. And are you going to do that or are you going to go into study hall? You know, you talk about no incentive for a kid at this level to go to class and really care about his studies. Boy, that's being thrown really out the window now, because there's not a kid in the world that's going to say, no, I don't want that money. I'm going to go study my Algebra 3 here. You know, it's not going to happen. So this has got disaster to be written all over it. It does.
It's going to be a new world of college sports. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt it's going to happen. I think it'll just get worse and worse as there'll be more court cases now. And if this is the precedent, which I think it is, it's going to open things up for the athletes. I think the athletes should get paid. I do. But you bring up a very good point that they are given free tuition. They're supposed to be attending classes. Ha ha. I know that. But they're supposed to be room and board. All right. I get that. I imagine it's going to have to be I'm just thinking real quick here. Where you mentioned you made $5,000 at Bob's Car Wash. Well, we get that. That's minus of what you owe us now, right? Because, you know, you owe us, let's just say, right, $100,000 for everything. So now you owe us $95,000. You make $40,000, you know, whatever. All right, you minus another $10,000 here. Eventually, you'll get plus money, right? Eventually, you will if you're a top player. But you got to pay us back first, or maybe a percentage. You know, the $5,000, half is yours, half is ours. Until you pay it all back, then you get your full percentage there. I can see that working too. So I'm just spitballing here, throwing stuff out here, because I do think you have a point that the colleges should be repaid for what they're giving you as far as the free education, the free room and board. I think there is an argument to be made there.
Yeah. And listen, I understand, college, what they're able to do and not have you be able to make money. That's so un-American. I get all that. But so is the draft in the NFL. So is the draft in the NBA. You know, so is the draft in Major League Baseball. But in order for them to have those rules and be able to draft people, which is as un-American as you could ever get, you know, they have these special tax laws, and they're tax exempt from things. And that's the handoff. Okay, we'll wash your hand, you wash ours. We can have the draft, and we can do this and do that. And you know, college football should be the same way. But these you know, judges that said no, you said, oh no, you can't do that. You just can't tell people you can't work. But there's other things about that. I mean, I don't quite know how they didn't understand all that, but it's got to be nuts. It really I could just see this guy, you know, Billy Bob, going from Ohio State to Alabama to Auburn to Florida, you know, pick a school, Oklahoma, who's going to be the top bidder? You know, Nebraska's already come out and said they're going to help kids get endorsement contracts. I mean, this is – it's going to be funny is what it really is, but there's no turning back at this point, I suppose. You want to get into the Trevor Bauer the nonsense? You know, I won't go into the details except just to say I don't know who's worse and who's to blame. It's a case that he said, she said. But I got to tell you, George, you know, if you're Trevor Bauer, pick a side with whoever you want to believe. But you're going to make $100 million over the next 3 years. You got your, what are we, 25, 26, 27, whatever he is, years old. He's got his whole life in front of him. He's got the world by, you know, in his hands, we'll say, to keep it clean. And you're screwing around with a woman you met on the internet. What are you freaking nuts? I mean, are you crazy? With all the idiots and crazies out there, you're going to go on the internet. You're Trevor Bauer. Walk into any bar in LA and say, I'm Trevor Bauer. I'm in the mood. Who wants to come home with me? And you'd see a line 10 deep. I mean, what are you doing with these knuckleheads that he was dealing with? I mean, holy crow. You just talk about a crazy situation. And then the Dodgers say he's going to pitch on Sunday. I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how that's possible for him to be able to pitch, you know, 3 days from now, knowing what's all around him.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'll assume everybody out there, you know what's going on with Trevor Bauer. If you don't, look at ESPN. Jeff Passan wrote a column today. It's pretty detailed there. Katie Strang of The Athletic wrote a column yesterday. They've been updated. You can find out the details for yourself here. I think what amazes, and I agree with everything you said. Everything you said 100% here is that you have to know every athlete nowadays, especially anyone that's making money, any top athlete, is being told by his agent, his advisors, be careful what you do. All right. Anything could get out there. Anything could get out there on social media. You know, Bauer's gotten in trouble before with some of the things he said on social media. Right. He got into that Twitter bullying with that other woman, Michelle, Melissa, someone like that. I forget what happened there. But he got in trouble for that. And then you meet this girl on Instagram, and apparently she likes strange things. Apparently you do too, right? Because you had no problem doing it. Once again, you can read up about it if you want, but you have to know there's a good chance this is going to get out, whether it's consensual or not, that this is going to get out, that she's going to go after you.
He's beating her up, George.
He's beating her up.
Whether she wants that or not, I mean, if you're Bauer, aren't you saying, whoa, this is a little too crazy, honey. You know, listen, nothing for nothing. You know, you want to use a couple of little, obstacle. You want to do whatever. Okay. But, you know, you want me to do what to you? You know, punch you and strangle you and beat you and give you pain? No, I can't do that. Sorry. And that's when I just walk out the door. And then they hooked up for a second time after the first time went astray. She was dumb enough to go back to him a second time. It's like, what are you kidding me?
It's a strange situation. Apparently, what, the Pasadena police have a recording of him sort of admitting it? Yeah, I mean, I guess if it was truly lawful, he'd be arrested already because they have a recording of it. You know, so there must be something where it's not quite an admission of guilt, something like that. But this story is not going away. And as you said, the Dodgers say, Dave Roberts came out today. Listen, I understand this is probably not a Roberts decision. This is probably more people above him, above his pay grade.
Yeah.
But Bauer's going to start Sunday, and they said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. It's in the hands of Major League Baseball. Bull. You may not be able to suspend him. I don't think they can. I think the MLBPA can stop it, and we know they would. It's what they do, right? But you can say, hey, you're not starting Sunday. Remember, you're on the bench. Yeah, you're not playing until this is resolved, you know, one way or the other, which I think the next big date is July 23rd, where Bauer has to respond to this. He'll deny it, of course, but that's when the next big thing will come out of this. But this is ugly. This is really ugly. I mean, on the field, I'm not trying to minimize this at all, by the way, so I don't want to hear it from people. I think it is a very serious thing, and as a father of two girls, I'm certainly not thrilled about this. But on the field, at least the Dodgers have a month. If they think Bauer's eventually going to get suspended, which I have to think he is, assuming any of this is true, any of it. It doesn't have to all be true, just any of it's true. I think he will get suspended and put on the exempt list eventually. Well, you got until July 30th, the trade deadline, if you feel you need a replacement outside. They do have some in-house candidates, but you've already lost Dustin May for the year. If you lose Bauer, I imagine they're going to shop outside for another starter. So we'll see how that works. So I guess for the Dodgers, at least it's not in August where you can't replace the guy. But this is, I mean, it's a weird story. Weird story.
Yeah. And then Sunday, oh, by the way, happens to be July 4th. So out of all the days that he's scheduled to pitch, just to add more insult to injury of just like July 4th, where everyone's supposed to be all happy and whatever, and now you're bringing him out. I don't know what the people in Washington will do. They play the Senators and date myself. They play the Nationals. Would they boom? Would they throw things at him? We've seen Buffalo Bill fans throw prophylactics at, on the field, at different times. I don't know what they would do with this dude. I think the Dodgers are crazy. To start this guy, I mean, who knows what they could be throwing at him or saying to him or chance or how does he even walk in the locker room? I would be so embarrassed. It's just like, dude, what is, I would look at him like, I don't even want to sit next to you. Are you that crazy? Really? We're all into different crazy little things. We get all that young and dumb and, have your little kinks. But I mean, you start beating up people, whether they want it or not. You got to be nuts. I mean,
I question your mentality. I just question your mentality.
Right. What are you doing?
You know what's going to get out. You're making $102 million. Go to a pro place, for crying out loud, if you need to get that kind of fetish going. Right? Well, it's not coming out. There are plenty of those around for people, gazillionaires, to go to. I mean, it's just weird. It's just strange that he's that stupid or that gullible. This is not going to come out.
How many teams, George, are saying to themselves, and they'd like to say this their fans, but they can't, saying, this is why we didn't sign him. It wasn't necessarily the money. It wasn't necessarily did we think he was going to be good or bad. It's because we knew he was, about to self-implode, whether it's with the Instagram or all the other social media or all the other nonsense that he gets involved in, throwing balls in stands. It just wasn't worth the risk. And, maybe the Dodgers got off light with only a 3-year contract versus, a 10-year ridiculous contract. But this is what kept a lot of teams away. There's a lot of GMs saying, yep, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it.
I said that that Met fan I told you I talked to earlier, he's a big Met fan, and he was upset that Bauer didn't go to the Mets. And the first thing, I told him, listen, if I'm in New York, I didn't want him to go to the Yankees I never saw this coming, of course not. But I thought he'd get himself in trouble with his words on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Face, whatever, that he can't just watch his mouth here. So that's what I was always worried about, and the New York media would eat it up. If this happened in New York, it'd be much worse than it actually already is.
Yeah, I could only imagine he would have imploded even earlier if he had signed with the Yankees or Mets. There's just, and I was telling that to people. It's like, no way. No, I wouldn't invest a dime in him in a Met or Yankee uniform. Good gravy with the media. All right, just getting underway. Game time decisions. More coming up. Welcome back. Game time decisions. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz filling in for Gabe Morency and Cam Stewart. Gabe apparently off to game number 3, NHL Stanley Cup Finals tomorrow. And we'll get into that in a second. Just trying to figure out whose week is really going the worst, me or George. I tell you, George, we were talking in the break and before the show. My week has consisted of, let's put it this way, a root canal yesterday was the highlight of my week. Yeah, that was the good point. All right, I got a dishwasher that's broke. I got a dishwasher that's not going to get fixed for another 2 weeks. So I'm now looking at dirty dishes, because if you think my wife's doing dishes, forget about it. So it's paper plates and paper forks and knives. And then the dishwasher people say, you got two choices. You can have us come over. We're going to charge $150 plus, parts and labor. So you're probably looking at about $300 to fix the dishwasher. Or you can buy a new one. You get a dishwasher fairly cheap, but with everything, all the bells and whistles, which we really don't need, but it's like $600. So I had a broken dishwasher. I got a looming bill. I got debate. Should I spend $300 to maybe fix the dishwasher or just say, what the fudge? Let me spend $600 on a brand new one. Then I got the root canal, which I'm all like Motrin'd up in. And so, but feeling actually not too bad. Root canals, I suppose, nowadays aren't as bad as they used to be. But, nobody goes to the dentist and has a good time. So that's been my week. How's your – oh, by the way, and my neighbor – had his fence electrocuted because Lilco, the electric company out here, screwed up, and there was an animal. What was it? He said a moccasin, or the one with the ugly snouts, the moccasin, right? Got caught in between the gate and the fence, and he got electrocuted. So he woke up, went offside one Tuesday morning, this Tuesday, right? he had this ugly moccasin electrocuted with all kinds of all bugs and everything, you know, all over this thing that was eating it. It must have been there for like at least a day, I imagine. So that's been my day. How's your week going?
You had me at root canal. All right, you win. Yeah. I may have had an aggravating week, but nothing. I mean, I didn't have a root canal. I've only had one root canal in my life, and I just said it must be better than what it used to be because it was bad, but not terrible like I thought it would be. Like I said, I have problems with the utility companies right now. I had to have cable out here because my sprinkler people accidentally pulled the line out, so cable's got to rebury the line. Then the water company fixed the leak, but I got no water pressure in the house now in a couple of showers and stuff like that. So it's been an interesting week. Water company's coming tomorrow. I'm a hockey ref, a men's league, but a couple of fights this week, a couple of nice fights, you know, nice. Like any other ref. I'm just taking notes. Okay, number 69, you got 5 minutes for fighting, 22, one for roughing. I'm not breaking crap up. I don't get paid anywhere near enough to rank up a fight. Plus, this guy was huge. That's why the fight lasted so long. The guy was monstrous. It was hilarious when you think about it. If you're on the outside just looking, because this guy was big. And maybe he's out of shape, but he's a kid. Like he's in college, but he's out of shape. And he's knocking people down like bowling pins. And nobody can take him down. He's like, get away from me. And he's going after him, go after him, go after him. Someone on the other team took their helmet and cracked him over the head with it. I mean, it's like a movie. It's like blood going down. He's still going after people. And I tell the guy, they're going to call the cops on you, buddy. And I looked into his eyes, Scott, and there's nobody home. There's nobody. I'm like, oh, my God. This is the kind of guy you're going to hear about. He killed 17 people, you know, because there was just nobody home in those eyes. I'm like, oh, God. Finally, he did go off the rink and left. But, I had guys on the other team who I was throwing out of the game, too. Like the guy who swung the helmet, who didn't want to leave their bench because they were afraid this guy was going to kill him in the parking lot. And I got to tell you, it wouldn't have shocked me.
Wow. They allow fighting in your league or that just fought?
They fought. They don't allow. You fight, you're done. You can never play there again. Like both those guys, the guy who's did all the fights, he's got a lifetime suspension. The guy who swung the helmet, lifetime. It's an attempt to injure. They can't ever play there again. But, hey, you know what? Guys will be guys. This is a college league. So you talk to all around 22-year-olds, young and dumb, and they do stupid things. And I think it all started if you're a hockey player. I mean, the guy put his hand out for the puck to knock it down, and he got slashed. It's a legal play. That's why you don't play the puck with your hand. You're taking your life. You're taking your hands. You're really in your own hands. You might get hit. And it wasn't a hard. It didn't hurt him, but he got upset over that. That's the start of the whole thing. I gave him a penalty for killing someone. Not killing, but really checking someone really hard. He was going to the box. He really was. He's going to take his 2-minute penalty. But someone on the other team said something to him, and it's like, oh boy, that was here we go. And it was an interesting, probably about 5 to 7 minutes, I would think. On the ice.
Wow. See that's why I referee girls basketball and not men's hockey. That's past my grade. I'm done with that stuff a long time ago. Yeah, give me the 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade girls basketball. I'm okay with that. You do deal with some unruly officials. I actually kicked out of coaches. I actually kicked out a coach after the game after his team won. That's how crazy some of my games are, but not quite at that level. Speaking of hockey, got NHL game 3 tomorrow. Dare I say it, George, but Carey Price has actually been human these first two games. I mean, he's let up – listen, he hasn't let up a lot of goals, although game one he let up 5, and those were 5 legit goals. They weren't empty netters, so he did leave up 5 goals, let up 3 last night. You know, there were a couple last night that it's just like, wow. You know, that one short angle shot, you got to stop that. The 2-on-1 break just before the second period ended – you know, he was kind of caught out of position. He was too much to the left, and then he slid over to the right to be able to make the save, but the puck went underneath his arm. You know, these are things that, you know, the first 3 rounds, he's not allowed goals like this. You know, he's turned human, and we're seeing what Montreal is. Without a great, great Carey Price, they're the same team that fell behind 3-1 against Toronto and probably should have lost that series. If he's not standing on his head, they don't have a chance in the world. So something's got to happen in game 3, otherwise the Canadiens are done.
What's the old axiom in sports, right? A series doesn't truly start until the home team loses a game. So, and Gabe, I know Gabe tweeted that out last night. This is what he's living on right now. All right, he's like, oh, the Canadians, they can come back. We haven't lost a home game yet. We can go back on Wednesday, tied at two. You know,
I never quite understood that, because you could lose if you only have three home games, you could lose all four road games and win all three home games and the series is over.
Series never starts. You lose if you don't lose a home game, you can't lose. Yeah. Right. So that's the way it is. So I get the axiom. The problem is this, and you put it perfectly. This is the first series that the Canadians don't have the goaltending advantage. Right. Yeah. It was Price first, Campbell in round one. As you said, at once it was 3-1. Price was a brick wall after that. No goals were going in. He can't beat him. He's not going to let anything in. Price Hellebuck, round two. He outplayed Hellebuck. Well, Winnipeg has their own issues. I think that team gave up when Scheifele got suspended. That they did the same thing last year when Scheifele got, when Scheifele got hurt. That team, I think, has some mental problems there. And series three, he went up against better goaltenders than Florian Leonard, but still he outplayed them. Yeah, there's very little doubt in my mind that if Price isn't the best goalie in the National Hockey League, he's number two. But number one is Vasilevsky. And he's got issues there. And Vasilevsky outplayed him last night. I mean, Montreal did literally everything they could to win the game. They outshot him 2-1. I mean, Vasilevsky wasn't letting anything in. But this is also the problem for Montreal, just like it was the problem for the New York Islanders. They don't have the goal scorers. They don't have the finishers. They have workmanlike guys. They can roll 2 or 3 lines at you. Great. But they don't have those finishes. Even if they get 40 shots on goal, it doesn't guarantee you anything. Anything. And Price has been good, but not great. And really, I mean, he was saying he's been good. Man, he may be a little less than good. You know, so that's been the issue here. That's really been the issue in my mind. They need Price has to be great. You know, if Tampa Bay and Montreal play the same, Tampa Bay wins. They have more talent. Montreal has to outplay Tampa Bay. If Tampa Bay plays up to their capabilities, the series is over. You know, it's probably over now anyway, because in my mind, Montreal's not beating Tampa Bay 4 the next 5 times. I do think they can split in Montreal. Remember, they don't play this weekend. I guess NBC doesn't want them to play over the weekend, July 4th and all that, which is fine. TV controls everything. They're going to play Friday and Monday. I think they can split and make it 3-1, and then I think the series ends on Wednesday in Tampa Bay. I think it's what Tampa Bay wants. Split, we'll win it in Tampa Bay on Wednesday, and that's it. We'll have our 3.5 days of an offseason and start up again. That's really what the NHL is here. It's a shame, because I don't want to say I was rooting for the Canadians, because I'm still mad about 1993 when the Canadians beat the Islanders on some BS official calls here. So, it's been 28 years, and I'm still a little bitter. I don't like Tampa Bay either. They just eliminated the Islanders back-to-back years. So I'm an angry guy. I'm just trying to win money here. I'm just trying to win money. That's it. Give me cash.
Yeah, the line, speaking of which, the line's on Tampa Bay, -1250. And Montreal, you get back +850. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot. You know, I mean, I understand they were, 2-1 dawn to begin the series. But like you said, the series isn't over until you've lost a game at home, getting +850. And then I saw a stat last night. Teams that are, and this is really amazing to me, teams that are up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals are 46-5. I mean, this is why you get the -1250 and the +850. It's not because they've broken down, first, second, third lines and who's better. It's all statistics. And statistics say teams down 2-0, they don't come back. You can make that line 850, 950, 1050, 1850, whatever it is. They just don't come back. 46-5 down 2-0 only. I would have thought, George, there would have been a lot more comeback. Not like 50-50, but at a 51 series that had been 2-0, I would have guessed 15 times, that the team down 2-0 came back and won the series, but only 5. That's amazing to me.
I didn't know the stat, but I knew it was up there because I've heard it before in the NHL. 3-0 is like, it's 3-0, it's over. You go home, start the party now. It's done. It never comes back. I didn't realize that 2-0 was almost as bad. I really didn't. I can't say I'm surprised because when you think about it, once again, just thinking logically, well, you're playing a great team. If they're up 2-0, are you going to beat them 4 out of 5 times? No, you're not.
No.
You're not going to beat them 4 out of 5. Even 3 out of 5, you still lose. You still lose 4-3 here. And there's so much pressure now on Montreal to win tomorrow night in Montreal, which I think they can do. I truly do. You can make a very good argument. They should have won last night. They outplayed Lightning. They did. They couldn't beat Vasilevsky. And it's the ultimate thing about hockey. If you can't beat the goalie, nothing else matters. If he's not letting anything in, nothing else matters. We see this over and over again, where the best team may not have won in the NHL, But the goalie was just, he was unbeatable. It was the old joke on the ESPN commercials, right, with Mike Richter back in the day. You know, this is ESPN. We show Mike Richter. And then he, on the back of the net, he was a little squeegee on the plastic, see-through thing that he had blocking the net. What they were trying to say is they couldn't beat him because he had help back there. It's the same thing. It just seems like some days Carey Price can't be beat. Vasilevskiy can't be beat. Even when you do beat him, a leg comes out of nowhere, an arm comes out of nowhere, you hit the post. But also what happens in hockey, when you don't think you can beat a goaltender, you start trying to make perfect shots, and now you're missing the net. All right? You're just missing the net now, and that plays a part in this as well.
Or you're not shooting. Although they did, like you said, they outshot him 2-1 last night. But then it's like, okay, what's the point of shooting 43 shots if we can't beat him? Let's now make that extra pass, and you don't get up any shot. Although I must say, I am a little surprised. The line tomorrow is only -138 on FanDuel, Tampa Bay being favorite. You know, having won the first two games, you know, and beat up 2-0 and everything, and those monster odds, I would have thought that would have been closer to 150, even 160, to tell you the truth. I am very surprised that they're only a -138, 140, we'll say, favorite tomorrow night.
I'm going to go with Montreal tomorrow night, unless something weird happens in the next 24 hours, someone gets hurt or something like that. I am going to say, okay, they played so well in game two. It's the first game in Montreal. Going to be a lot of buzz there. It is the Canadians are the New York Yankees of the NHL, the Dallas Cowboys of football. That's what Montreal is. So I think they're going to feed off that buzz. I think they'll feed off the game as well from game two. I think they pull out a victory tomorrow night to make Gabe a much happier guy. And they'll make a series out of this, because if they don't, then this ends on Monday.
Yeah, we got to find out how much Gabe paid for his ticket. I mean, can you imagine him flying to Montreal? Now, he's up in Canada anyway, but still, I think he was on the West Coast near Vancouver.
To Vancouver.
Flying all the way to Montreal. That must have cost him a fortune. The ticket had to cost him a fortune. And then for them to, like, lose, like, 5-0, oh, my goodness. That would be typical Gabe. You know, that would give him fodder for the next year. I got a lock for you coming up. That's next. All right, welcome back. Game Time Decisions coming up top of the hour in Game Live with yours truly and George Kurtz taking over the next two more hours. George, you're going to have to explain this one to me because I don't quite get it, to tell you the truth. Maybe I'm just counting on the NHL media to know what they're doing, but it's not necessarily a lock per se, but it doesn't make any sense. I've seen bad lines before, and I'll tell you when there's a bad line that's a sucker line and there's a bad line that's just a bad line. And to me, this is a bad line. And that is, you can get Braden Point at 5-1 to be your Conn Smythe Trophy winner. And for people that don't know, that's the MVP, but it's not the MVP of the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, NBA has NBA Finals MVP. Super Bowl has Super Bowl MVP. Baseball has World Series MVP. Hockey is the one that's different. Hockey, it's the entire postseason. Braden Point, what did he score? 9 straight games or 10 straight games in goals? He nearly tied Rick Leach's all-time record. The guy gets 3 assists in game one. Now, he didn't score last night, but still, I don't understand how he's not the overwhelming favorite. I know they have Vasilevskiy as the favorite at -180, but, he he's a Russian. Braden Point's Canadian. You got more Canadian voters. I don't see how Braden Point, if Tampa Bay wins this series in 4 or 5 and no one does anything spectacular, I don't know how he's not your Conn Smythe winner. 5-1 is a gift from FanDuel right now in my book.
The problem is this award generally does go towards the goaltender, with the exception of a forward or a defenseman goes bananas. And Point has gone bananas. Here's the problem. What was the score of Game 7, Lightning versus the Islanders? Oh, it was 1-0. Vasilevskiy with a shutout that got them this far. He's let up 2 goals so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs. If he keeps this up, if he's going to let up, 5 goals in 4 games, he's going to win this award. A Point, you're probably right, deserves, because he's done something special that generally doesn't get done. I'm with you there, but it's almost always given to the goaltender.
Wow. I got to count on Canadian brothers. You know, it's the media that votes on this thing. I mean, he's got 23 goals. I mean, he's been unbelievable in this postseason. He has 14 goals, 23 points. I think that's a 5-1 lock, it is. All right, more coming up.